Good morning, church. It is great to be here. Amen. God is good. And all the time. Oh, yes. We didn't even rehearse that. That's pretty good. To do it a little more often and stuff. If you haven't turned to Ephesians chapter 5, I again want to just reiterate. I started this last week. I made mention of. But just a couple of things that I'm really just driving home the idea of prayer and participating in it. Sunday mornings, if you decide that you want to come a little bit early for Bible class, it'd be great to have everyone come out for Bible class, but at 9 o'clock to come up here and join me for a time of prayer, praying for our Bible study, praying for our worship time, praying for the church throughout the area to just glorify God. So if you want to do that, that'd be wonderful. Tuesdays at 10 a.m., if you want to come out, doors will be unlocked to have a time of prayer. You're more than welcome to. It'll be structured somewhat, but I think you'll be pleasantly surprised and enjoy the time. So please, if you have nothing to do and you're just bored, come on out. Or maybe you just say, I'm going to put it on the calendar and make it a point to come and be a part of it and stuff. But just really trying to drive home that idea of prayer, that we, I can't do things, I can only control certain things in my life, but God is the one we're going to go to. And lastly, and that is this, after service, I will stay up here if anyone would like to have additional prayer. So if it's difficult to walk down the outdoor invitation or whatever, I will be up here, and if you want to ask me to pray for you, I'd be honored to do that. So anyways, you're more than welcome, and I would love to have you do that. So here we go. Giving thanks in a selfless age, because this is the only selfless age that we live in, right? Oh, we'll get into this. So I have to go over some statistics with you, okay? And we'll see how you fare with this, all right? So according to research, the most selfish decade, if you can believe it, the most selfish decade was the 1960s. Does that surprise you? Again, according to research, it said something about Woodstock and self-love. What was going on in the 60s, people? Anyways, let's see here. What age group is considered to be the most selfish? 2 to 6, 7 to 12, 13 to 18, or 19 to 30? What do you think? Say the number. What do you think? 13, 18? Who said 13, 18? All right. Yeah, there you go. You guessed it. You passed. Which sex is more selfish? Men, you want to give the answer first? How about you, ladies? You want to give the answer? Well, sorry to say this, but ladies, you didn't fare so well. So anyways, and then lastly, I thought this was fascinating. Which country is considered the most selfish, according to the research? Is it the United States, Great Britain, France, or Japan? What do you think? France. Who said France? No, get out of here. You got three others to guess from. United States. Japanese wouldn't do that. So before I go on, I just needed to clarify something. I made all of that up. Those aren't real statistics. Did it seem like it was real, though? I was telling my wife this. I was in the office just cracking myself up, laughing at my stupid jokes. But the reason why I say that, and that is sometimes we look at it and say, like, this point in time is the most morally corrupt, the worst time, right? You say that, as a Christian, I've heard this, the 1980s, the 1990s and stuff. This day and age is the most selfish age. But we know that selfishness is not something new. It's something that's occurred since the garden. You can go all the way back and trace it to that. So just realize that when we talk about which age group, which sex, which decade, and all that stuff, there's no winner and stuff. The fact is that man has been corrupt for a long time since the fall. And I want you to understand, too, that when talking about selfishness, talking about a person's actions or motive lacking consideration for others. They're concerned chiefly for their own personal profit or pleasure or gain. So there may be a time where you say, like, you know, well, I'm doing things to protect my family. And some of you are like, that's kind of selfish. To me, that's selfish in a good way. In other words, if, you know, a husband and wife is going to go out on a date night, but yet they allow the kids to interfere with that, you know, that's something that should be, you know, protected. Or you're maybe doing a family night and someone starts bothering you about coming over to interrupt that and stuff. It's okay to protect that, or, you know, to do things that are helpful in that regard, because you are building something. You're building relationships. But we're talking about this idea of lacking consideration for someone else, and it's all about you. Well, that's the problem. So there are times you can get into. This here is one of the things they can get pretty selfish about. Isn't that true? And they can be a blessing and they can be a curse. Because I know many of you say, you know, I'm just sitting here in the pew right now doing research on what you're saying, checking those statistics out. Meanwhile, you may be on FanDuel for all I know, you know, placing your bets or something else, checking out another site, doing something else, being distracted. So yeah, we can research things, we can be used for good, but many times all we're doing is scrolling and giving our thumbs a workout because we're just, you know, on whatever social media that we're on. And so what happens is that we bury ourselves and we just look at that. That's all it is. And you ever go in a room and everyone's looking at their phone? The hospital waiting room, that's safe, isn't it? Don't look at the TV, because that's just stuff that's on there's garbage. Everyone on their phone, no one brings a book or a magazine. That may feel safe and stuff. But there's no connection. You don't talk to anybody. Safe, right? It's a time where you can just go ahead and do your own thing. And you ever watch those funny videos where people who are doing that and they're out in public walking? What happens? They walk into a sign, a pole, they step in the water, a puddle, fall down, trip over something, you know. And why is that? Because they're so focused on this. I heard something interesting the other day. There's a player for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Cam Hayward. He has a podcast and stuff. I heard him interviewed on the radio. And I guess early in his career, he was, you know, they had him on TV and stuff. But they're talking about some things. And he has his social media. But this is a pretty famous guy in football terms and stuff. And I forget the two social media things. But he puts a time limit on, and I don't know how you do that. 30 minutes of one, 30 minutes of other, and it shuts off. Because somebody said to him about what happened in the game, he said, yeah, somebody texted me about it, but I couldn't open it up because I used up my time already. I couldn't look at it till the next day. You do with what you want and stuff. But I'll tell you this much. Recently, I deleted all my social media. And that's just taking a huge burden. As far as keeping up with, looking at, getting mad about politics, getting mad about people saying things about religion and stuff. I don't miss it. I'm not telling you to do, you do what you want to do, but realize that electronics can be a huge distraction because it isolates you. You get all your feedback. You get your likes. You get all that stuff. And it's all right there. You can ignore your kids. You watch people go to the park and watch their kids. And it's very easy. I'm guilty of it too. You pull it. It's just so easy. There's also, I think you can find out on your phone how often you pick it up. Did you know that? One morning, that wasn't even like long into it. This is a few weeks ago. One morning, I think if you swipe right, whatever it is, you can see all kind of data. And it said I touched my phone and picked up 26 times. 26 times. That was like an hour and a half. What am I doing? To see what? Nothing's happened. Isolation. That'll do it for you, right? You get good in that stuff. You know, you have this sort of thing, but that selfish nature. And then, of course, you see this. Who hasn't seen that in their family life, huh? With a brother, with a sister, with, you know, someone, you know, fighting over a toy and stuff. When we see it with friends, with siblings, fighting over things, we see it with the younger kids. But what's sad is that as grown-ups, we fight in a different way with it, don't we? It's mine. It's all mine. And so we get in this power struggle that we're willing to expend every ounce of energy to fight for that thing that we consider to be mine because of our selfish nature. And then, how about this? Has it ever happened to you with your spouse or maybe with your children, hopefully not with your children, but maybe as adults, where you get in this discussion, you want to call it, where you're just putting your hands up, you're both talking at the same time, raising the level, and you see this selfish nature coming out because you're speaking while the other person's speaking. You go louder because they're going louder, and you go louder because they're going louder, because you have to get your point across, because you have to point out how right you are for the matter. Where does that get you? See, selfishness, by the way, have you ever noticed this too? Selfishness is always noticed in the other person. I can't believe how selfish they are. I can't believe how selfish that person is. But then if you really look at it, it's like, I have a little bit of a tendency to that myself. I have that too. So it doesn't matter if we're isolating on the phone, fighting over power, or arguing how right we are in our view or our behavior. Selfishness is not a behavior that gives glory to God and does not help build the family, the community, place of employment, and it does not help to build healthy relationships within the family and the body of Christ. Amen? So let's get into the text here. So here we have Paul writing Ephesians chapter 5, starting verse 15. Look carefully then how you, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Look carefully then how you walk. Have you ever experienced those moments when you are not careful when you walk? You don't see that crack in the sidewalk and you trip and stumble, maybe fall. Or you realize there's a curb behind you and you trip over the curb and fall down. Look carefully then how you walk. When we walk in the dark, we walk a little bit differently, don't we? We might shuffle our feet or pick them up a little bit more. We may slow down our pace because we want to make sure that it's safe, that we don't trip. As a matter of fact, let me ask this question. How did you end up here today where you're seated? Did you just wake up and randomly end up here? Did you all of a sudden just have an aha moment going like, what am I doing here at the 612 Colliers Way? This makes no sense to me. What you did is that there's intention and purpose. You get up and do things. You walk intentionally. You go to the car. You drive a certain way and park in the parking lot, walk in the doors and come and sit down. Intentionally walking. Now, when you did all that, I'm sure you didn't walk carefully. I go, but you just kind of do it. But there's purpose and intention with the way that you walk. I officiated a wedding last night at the place called The Barn up in Butler County. And there are no lights in the parking lot. You get outside the barn, and it's just darkness. So the night of the rehearsal and stuff, I'm like, well, okay. I know there's a curb somewhere around here and stuff. Where's the curb, you know? And click, you know, for the car to make sure I can find my car and stuff. But completely, you know, pitch black out there. Walk a little bit differently. So when you walk, when you look carefully at how you walk, you should be walking with purpose, with intention, and also with a carefulness. Because again, if you are not, then there's a chance to go ahead and stumble and fall. And that's always a great thing. I remember when I was training for the marathon, I was doing my jogging around the city, and I was over in the North Shore area, and there's some construction, and this is back before having the phones and stuff, but I was doing the little shuffle, and remember the iPods they had and stuff? They had the mini iPod thing. And so I'm trying to do that, and there's some traffic and stuff, and I'm going to my right, jogging, did not see the sandbags there, and all of a sudden I am down on the ground, and there's all those cars just parked in traffic. You know, got up and said, what are you looking at? No, like, I'm pretty embarrassed over that because I'm looking at the stupid thing. Nothing. I'm trying to find the buttons to press to change songs. We've all had that happen to us, right? You trip and fall. I remember one time when you know, back in my weightlifting days, and in my bedroom was where my weights were, but I didn't put them away. I left them out. And if you go through my old house in the city, you had to go through my bedroom to get to the one bathroom. Wasn't this center common bathroom. And my mom woke me up, and she wasn't saying very kind things because she had stubbed her toe on the weights that were in the way that she did not expect to be there. Like, come on, Mom, open your eyes and see where you're going. But the fact is you walk with intention and purpose. And Paul says, look carefully then. And he says, do you know what it's connected to? If we walk this way, what's it connected to? Being what? Wise. Not as unwise, but as wise. That means if we're going to be intentional in that, we're then going to walk with, we're going to walk as wise disciples for Jesus. And if we do that, then what happens? It says we'll make the best use of our day because the days are evil. So understand, if we are not careful, if we are not purposeful in how we walk, then what do? We walk randomly, we don't have purpose, we don't intend. And when we do that, we're unwise. When we do that, we're not making the best use of our time. We say, man, what did I do today? I had 4 hours where I did nothing. As a matter of fact, 1 hour, I just sat there staring at my phone. 1 hour watching TV or whatever. And the time goes by. And all of a sudden, you are foolish. You're unwise because you're not productive with the time that God's given you. I'm not saying you can't watch enjoyable fun. That's not what I'm saying. But be intentional, be purposeful, because it all connects to this. And he says this. Therefore, do not be foolish. Right? Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the So what is the will of the Lord? What is the will? Well, what is God's guidelines for us? How does God want us to live? Does God give us a purpose in how we're to live? And the answer is yes. So to be intentional with how we're living, to be intentional with how we're walking, to follow those guidelines, how we behave, we talked about last week, how we speak, and so on. So that's important. And this idea of debauchery, this excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. He says, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. When we're, and by the way, when you're filled with the Spirit, it's really important to understand, but he says this, don't be drunk with much wine, which means there's a negative command followed by a very positive command, and that is filled with the Spirit. Be intentional to be filled with the Spirit. Be intentional. So if you get filled with wine and become drunk, you did that on purpose. And if you do that on purpose, you are foolish. You're unwise. You're unproductive with your time. But if you are wise, if you're walking carefully, if you're, you know, doing what God tells you to do, then be filled with the Spirit. Be intentional with that. And you think about this. If you are drunk, if you are getting to a state where you are inebriated, how well can you self-control? How well can you do things that is going to bring glory and honor to God? Your senses are skewed. You're no longer wary of. You take risks that are foolish. You do very dumb things. I told you last week, I never drank. That was never an issue for me. But when my friends did that, I hated them. Because their behavior changed completely. So the idea of drunkenness, it does not glorify God. It weakens our resolve. It causes us to give in to the demands of the flesh. We lack self-control when we get drunk. But being filled with the Spirit provides us with direction and purpose. It helps us to be self-controlled, say no to ungodly behavior, and glorifying God. It unites us with God and enables us to be Christ-like. Amen? That's important to realize, to move in that direction. And by the way, it says to be filled with the Spirit. Understand that when you became a disciple of Jesus, when you rose out of that watery grave, the scripture tells us that the Spirit of God will indwell you. So does that mean that's all it is, just one time and stuff? It is a purposeful, intentional relationship that I desire for God to fill me each and every day. Paul says this, to be filled with the Spirit. Because when I do that, I can become more Christ-like. I love this. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. We can worship, we can sing songs of praise, we can make a joyful noise to the Lord when we are being filled with the Spirit. When we are being wise, we can do that. It limits us when we are not moving in that direction. We're walking carelessly, aimlessly, to sing songs of praise. Have you ever did that at home where you're just kind of having a good time singing songs of praise to God? Yeah? Out there maybe in the car driving, singing songs of praise to God. That's awesome. You know, that's great. In a store, maybe sing a little softer. But, you know, when you're in those environments, have you ever sang a little bit louder? Why not? Why not give thanks and praise to God? No, we're talking about our setting and stuff like that. But to do that, this morning I was having my prayer time and no one came. And I was okay with that. I was kneeling here praying and stuff. And I got up and started singing and turning around and Brother Chris is right behind me. Like, hey, man, let's get after it and stuff. This is good stuff. To sing praises to God. Not worry about it. To address one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord, that we can come and worship Him and through our voices give thanks to Him. Well, I don't sing very good. I don't care. God doesn't say, well, you're off there a little bit, so quiet over there, Brian. What's our heart like? We have a heart that says, I don't care. I'm going to give praises and give thanks to God. And I love what he says here, too. And so we do all this stuff, and then Paul says, giving thanks always for everything. Giving thanks always for everything. And everything would mean everything. So does it mean when you're going through good times? When you're going through difficult times? Yes. Well, my family's kind of falling apart. We're having struggles. Do you give thanks to God? Yes. Because what God is doing is something you can't see. Sometimes you're like, well, this hurts, this is painful. God is doing something always in our lives, whether it's good or we're going through difficult times, bad times, great times, He is working. So, you can thank God for Thanksgiving coming up. Amen? Thank God for NFL football. Maybe not so much. Thank God for family time. Argue over politics? No, we don't want to do that. We don't want to argue. We want to have a good time. For food? How about our homes? How about the very air that we breathe? How about our hearts that are beating? You think about that, how many times your heart beats in a lifetime? I have research. No, I don't have research. I'm just kidding. But the fact is, I forget how many millions of times your heart will beat in a lifetime. Okay? An average lifetime. It's absolutely amazing that this just keeps on going. Truly amazing. Your jobs? Yes. Your church? Your spouse? Your children? Your grandchildren? All these things you can give thanks to God about. Trials and tribulations? You give thanks to God about that? Amen. I think about the biggest time, to see what God is doing. There are times when you feel like you're just breaking apart, just going to snap. And God says, come to me. Come to me. Pray. Give thanks. And He is doing an amazing work. And we do this, everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another, out of reverence for Christ. We give thanks to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do this by submitting. Brothers and sisters, I hope something has been said to encourage you in your walk, your deliberate, intentional walk before the Lord. Hope something's been said to encourage you to be filled with the Spirit, so that as you leave here, that as we sing songs of praise with one another and to God, that we can go out in the world and do that, and they see the difference, the transformation that He is making in our lives. I hope that you all have a great Thanksgiving. Remember to walk carefully. You'll be wise and productive with your time if you do that. And let us daily worship the Lord and give thanks, and give thanks for everything. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. If you're here this morning, and we'd like the church to pray for you, we would love to do that corporately. We'd love to place hands on you and pray. And if you have an issue, maybe you need healing, you need relationship, prayer for your relationship, work, whatever it is that you're going through, we'd love to pray for you. Or maybe you're here today and the gospel message has pierced your heart. You understand who Jesus is and you want to give your life over to him. You can do that this morning as we sing the song, to come forward and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins and to walk in newness of life filled with the Holy Spirit. What a great day that would be for you. Whatever your need is, you can have that taken care of. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Won't you come as we stand and sing this song?